Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, part 6, to name a few. And you're listening to the Bean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Mean Militia, I am Mean Joe Grizzly. When I'm not fumbling around in the dark in some man-made tunnel under an Airbnb that I rented on the outside of Detroit, I'm sitting around in the Grizzly Cave watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and crushing beers. And I went and seen Barbarian. And wow, this movie, man, what a surprise. I'm going to give my spoiler-free review first, and then I'm going to get into spoilers because I got to talk about this movie. But before we begin, I want to remind everyone to please like and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. That way, you'll never miss an episode. Also, follow the show on all social media platforms so you can get updates on upcoming episodes, geek news, discussions, cool videos, and interact with yours truly. So follow me on Instagram and TikTok at the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast, at Mean Joe Grizz Pod on Twitter, like the official Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast Facebook page, and last but certainly not least, join my Mean Militia on the show's official Facebook group, the Mean Joe Grizzly Mean Militia. I look forward to interacting with y'all and talking more about all forms of badassery. But now, let's get to Barbarian. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. So, Barbarian, man, let me tell you guys something. 2022 has been an amazing year for horror fans. This movie was fantastic and completely caught me by surprise. I had no idea that this movie was going to be as good as it turned out to be. And one of the great things about this movie is the trailers did not give away hardly anything. When you're watching this movie, the stuff you see in the trailers, that's a very, very minute representation as to what happens in this movie. This movie is batshit crazy and shocking. It's definitely one of the most unique horror films I've seen in a very long time. So again, this section is going to be spoiler free, where I just give a brief synopsis of the film and I give my thoughts, and then I'll get into spoilers and stuff. So the movie is about this girl named Tess Marshall who comes to Detroit for a job interview, and she books up a rental home in a remote rundown neighborhood or suburb of Detroit. And Tess is played by Regina Campbell, and she is fantastic in this movie. And when she gets to this Airbnb, she finds out that there's someone else already in there, and it seems like the property has been double booked, and the person in there, his name is Keith. He's played by Bill Skarsgård, and you know Bill Skarsgård is the guy who played Pennywise in the It reboot, or remake rather. And there's a bad storm raging on the outside. There's literally no hotels available around, and outside is like pitch black, and the neighborhood is bad. It's like a bunch of abandoned houses, and then this one Airbnb just is sitting out there in the middle of all these like trash houses. Like, it literally looks like someone built a brand new house in like a post-apocalyptic setting. It's very jarring to look at, but from what I hear, it's very realistic, or very realistic depiction of sections of Detroit, so that makes sense. But she ends up coming in and staying at this same Airbnb as this guy who's been already staying there, and the two are very rocky at first because obviously they don't know each other. It's a very strange situation, and he's a man, she's a woman, and they're out in the middle of nowhere, no one around, and it's just a very odd situation. So eventually the two warm up to each other and they start talking, and eventually they end up going to bed on good terms. And she takes the bedroom, he takes the couch, and in the middle of the night, her door opens up. Now, obviously, this startles her asleep, and she peers out the door, and she sees that Keith is still asleep on the couch. So, who opened her door? Well, after sitting there and observing Keith for a little bit, she realizes that he's having a nightmare. He's in there talking in his sleep and stuff. So, she goes and wakes him up, it startles him. The two kind of have an exchange, and they go back to sleep. Well, in the morning, she goes to her job interview, and the lady that is being interviewed by asks her where she's staying at. She tells her the area, and the lady's like, oh my God, you need to get out of there. That place is so dangerous. So it just further sets up how dangerous and isolated this area of Detroit is. And she goes back to get her stuff, and while she's there, Keith is already gone. And when she pulls up to this house, she's like immediately set upon by this homeless guy. It's like a real scary situation. She has to run inside and lock the door. And once she gets inside, she's trying to get the police to come out there. The police are like, we don't have any units out there. You know, they can come out that way because they're all busy, tied up with other stuff, which I'm from South Carolina. I don't live in big cities, so that kind of stuff I have never dealt with. I've never had an experience like that, so that was really jarring to me to hear that, but I hear it happens. So it's something that's not very unbelievable. So she's, you know, trying to collect herself because this guy scared the shit out of her. And she goes to the restroom and realizes that there's no toilet paper. So she's looking all around the house looking for toilet paper. And she peers down in this closet that turns out to be the stairs that goes to the basement. And she sees toilet paper down there. She goes down there and is getting the toilet paper, and the door upstairs shuts and locks itself and locks her in. So now she's stuck in this basement, and her phone is upstairs, and she has no way of getting out of this basement unless Keith comes back. So she starts rambling around in the basement and exploring it, and she realizes that there's something odd about this one wall, and she finds like a rope that is coming out of a hole in the wall. So she starts pulling this rope, and it opens up this trap door. And of course, this is a horror film, so what does she do? She goes inside this secret passageway under this house into this basement, and that is when the madness commences. And I don't want to talk anymore right now in this section about what happens next, because that's all in spoiler territory, because everything I have talked about as of right now is stuff that you have seen in the trailers. I truly want people to go see this movie. So I implore you to please go see this movie. Don't sleep on it. It's really good. It's right up there with The Black Phone this year. It might be a little better. I haven't made up my mind yet. But it's definitely one of the best horror releases of this year. So I implore you to go see it before you listen to the spoiler section of this episode. But first, I'm going to talk about the stuff I liked about this movie in a non-spoiler section. So I think that all of the actors are fantastic. Each actor plays their role perfectly. The one thing about this movie that is 100% top-notch, haven't seen it done this well in a very long time, is atmosphere and lighting. They do such a fantastic job of creating this perfect atmosphere that makes you feel like you were there. You definitely feel like you're in the position of those characters. And the lighting, my God, the way they use the lighting in this movie is absolutely perfect. It's some of the best use of lighting I've seen. In all honesty, and people might think I'm over-exaggerating, but the only movie that comes to my head after watching this movie as to what is the best use of lighting, to me, is Halloween 78. Like, the way that John Carpenter used lighting in that movie, where Michael Myers' face or the shape's face would come into focus behind Jamie Lee and stuff, that kind of stuff is being done in this movie in a more modern way, obviously. But the use of flashlights and the use of like iPhone flashlights and stuff, it's just perfect, like how they do it. And it was very, very impressive. The gore in the movie is very shocking. The way it's used sparingly is perfect. It's not this flat out gore fest. It's like it's used to be so effective when it happens. It's jarring when it happens, and to me it's a perfect use of it. It's just not gratuitous. It's like when it happens, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe that just happened. It's like really, really shocking. The special effects are great. I think that they generally made something that was very creepy and will sit in your head for a very long time. And I think that the overall story, although at times seems like it is all over the place, it all comes together at the end. And I think it does a good job of coming together at the end and making a pretty good narrative that, although some questions don't get answered, they don't really need to be answered. And that's another thing that's really hard to do, in my opinion. And I think this movie never needs a sequel. I think this needs to be a standalone movie. I hope it doesn't get a sequel. And I, as much as I like this movie, I do not want a sequel to this movie, because I think it's a good self-contained story. I think it needs to stay that way. And they kind of set it up where it's a definitive end to the story, but there was a lot of unanswered questions that they could explore in a potential sequel. But I hope that never happens. So, as far as like the director, Zach Krieger, I don't know much about him. I think he was in comedy before this. I'm not very sure, but he did a fantastic job, and I hope he continues to make horror films. And I think he made this movie on a very small budget, maybe like $11 million or something, which is insane for what they did with this movie. I think the good thing about this movie is the marketing. They don't give you enough to spoil what is inside this movie, and that's best. It's the best marketing I've seen in a while too. So I'm happy with all that. The stuff I didn't like, there are times, because this is a horror film, and you have to suspend disbelief in at times in these movies. If you don't, you're going to constantly be pissed off that characters make stupid decisions and stuff. But this movie does have some parts where it's like, yeah, there's no fucking way I'm going down in that basement. And that's some things that do happen. That's like there are times where one character in particular is completely oblivious to what he is doing, and it's like, this guy's a dumbass. Like, I don't know what this guy's doing. Like, is this serious? Like, and that is one of the things that at times it does get a little far-fetched. But as far as, like, you know, the dumb like horror movie tropes, there's not many of those. Just that one is the big glaring one. Is, okay, that shit's not going to really happen. You're not really going to do that, and you're not really going to stay there. You're going to get the hell out. And that was one of my gripes. As far as my other gripes, I don't really have a lot. I do wish that some of the stuff was explored more, but I think they give you enough, and I don't think that we need any more as far as some story points go. But yeah, I want to get into this movie and I want to talk about it more in depth. So I'm going from here on out, it's going to be spoiler talk. So you've been warned, stop this episode, go see it, and then come back and finish. Everything else from this point forward is going to be spoilers. So you've been warned. Now, this movie gets completely batshit when she goes in this basement. She goes in this basement, and down at the end of the hall, there's a room with a camcorder, this dirty, disgusting bed, and like a bucket. Like, I'm assuming it's a bucket to use the restroom in. Not quite sure. But obviously some nefarious shit's going on here. So what ends up happening is that she hears Keith coming home, and she gets Keith to open the door and come down and let her out of the basement. And she goes upstairs. She's like, I'm leaving. There's some crazy shit going on. And Keith's like, well, why are you leaving? Like, and he acts like he doesn't believe her. And she's like, why don't you believe me? And he's like, I just want to see it for myself. So she said, you can go down there. I'm not going back down there. So he goes back down there, and then silence. And she starts getting concerned. So she starts walking back into this tunnel, which she's dumb as shit. And that's what I was talking about. There's some parts you got to suspend disbelief. So she ends up going back into this tunnel and gets to the room again, and Keith's nowhere to be found. But she can hear Keith screaming and yelling for help. So she messes with the wall, and the wall turns out to be another door that leads to another tunnel that goes deeper down underground. So she goes down into this tunnel, and she can hear Keith screaming. So she keeps going down, and eventually she finds Keith. And Keith looks like he's been roughed up a little bit. And what ends up happening is this thing, which the way I can describe it is this naked, freakishly big lady, freak looking lady, comes out of nowhere, grabs Keith by his head, crushes his head up against the wall of the cave, and then lights out. It then cuts to Justin Long's character, who is an actor, an up-and-coming actor in Hollywood, and he has just been hit with a sexual assault lawsuit and investigation. So he's having to liquidate all of his assets to pay for his legal fees, and one of the things that he owns is an Airbnb in Detroit, and it turns out to be the same Airbnb. So what ends up happening is he goes to Michigan, to Detroit, to his Airbnb, and finds out that no one's really been managing it very well. Like, people aren't coming there and cleaning up and stuff. So he goes there, spends the night, goes out to the bar, blah, blah, blah. Comes back and finds, like, all of Tess and Keith's belongings still there. And he starts going through their stuff and can't figure out anything about them. And for some reason, he ends up going into the basement. And he goes down to the basement and he finds the secret passageway. And he goes in it and he finds the room, and then he finds the other room that goes down to the stairs. And this is the other part where you have to suspend disbelief. This character, which I think his name is AJ, is so oblivious to what's going on and what's happening. It's just, it's ridiculous. He sees, and he's not a very good person, so you kind of start, you don't really know if he committed like that, the sexual assault that he's being accused of, but the more the movie goes on, the more you're like, yeah, this guy's a piece of shit. Like, so he probably did do it. Not to assume anything about people in general, but he kind of proves himself to be kind of a, not only an ignorant person, but also a person that doesn't want to accept responsibility for their actions and will do anything to save their own skin. But he starts measuring the hallway in this secret passage and the stairwell down into this freaking cave because he thinks it's going to add to the square footage of his house so he can get more money out of it, which is insane. I'm not backing down a dark corridor in a creepy basement. No, hell no, I'm not doing it. Especially when I just found a room that has a camcorder and a freaking bed, and there's this nasty, and there's bloody handprints on the wall and shit. No, hell no. So that's one thing that you do have to suspend disbelief. Now, it's one of my gripes. But anyway, he eventually goes down deep enough, and he finds a room that has, it's disgusting. It has, like, trash everywhere, and there's this TV that's playing on a loop of, like, a breastfeeding instructional video. And that's when he is set upon by this thing, this inbred lady. She ends up chasing him, and he ends up falling down in this hole. And when he falls down in this hole, a cage slams on top of him, which, by the way, he's found several cages that look like there was something being kept in them. Like there was food bowls and stuff like that. So he gets thrown down in this hole, a cage door slams on top. And then we're reintroduced to Tess, where him and Tess are now trapped by this monster lady. And then it cuts to another jump into the plot, where it goes back to the 80s with this house and its owner. And I don't really think we got a name for the owner. If we did, I don't remember it. But he's played by Richard Brake. Richard Brake has been in all the Rob Zombie movies. He's always playing some really sinister guy. And this movie is no exception. He's playing this guy who's obviously a serial killer and serial rapist back in the 80s, when the Reagan era first took over. And they show him scoping out a woman to be abducted later. And that all comes together in the end, where you find out that he was kidnapping women for years, raping them, having children with them, and then he was proceeding to rape and have children with the children. So it's just this cycle of incest, and eventually it spawned this thing, this monster lady, who I think they dub it the mother. So eventually what ends up happening is that the mother comes in and tries to nurse both of them, and they're both like terrified or whatnot, and Tess is like, you gotta do it or she's gonna kill you. And AJ's like, I'm not doing that shit. So he gets yanked out of the hole and brought up to the breastfeeding room, I'm gonna call it, the room that had the video on loop, and she tries to feed him like a baby. It's very disturbing and very disgusting. And Tess ends up getting out, and when she's trying to leave, the mother almost gets her. She ends up escaping through the little window in the basement, and she just narrowly escapes because that same homeless man that ran her in the house earlier pulled her from the basement. And it turns out he was trying to warn her the entire time that there was a crazy monster lady in there and that she needed to leave, and that he lived up near the water tower and he had been running from her ever since he seen her for the first time, that she comes out at night. It's like this legit monster in this neighborhood. So long story short, she can't live with herself by leaving AJ there. So she ends up going back in to get him. AJ ends up in all the confusion when Tess left. AJ ends up escaping and going further into the tunnel, and that leads him to a room with where the owner of the house, previous owner of the house, or I'm going to call him the father. The father is there dying, been down there for decades, it seems like, and has a collection of tapes from his victims. And AJ ends up watching one of the tapes and realizes what's going on. And the guy ends up, the killer ends up putting a gun to his head and killing himself. But the whole situation comes to a head, and AJ's like, well, I gotta get the hell out of here. So he grabs the gun that the guy killed himself with and heads back into the tunnel. And he thinks that the mother is coming down the hall, and he fires a shot and ends up hitting Tess that's coming back to save him. So him and Tess ended up escaping. They end up getting help going to the water tower where the homeless man is, and the mother comes after them and setting up this pretty horrific, gory conclusion. I don't really want to talk about the actual ending of the movie, but I want everybody to go see this. This movie, one of the things this movie does that a lot of movies fall really short on in the more recent years is it's, I talked about the lighting at first, but this movie knows how to handle tension and how to ratchet up that tension and keep that tension down on the viewer perfectly. Like, you are on the edge of your seat almost this entire movie. They make you feel uneasy almost this entire movie. No matter, even after the big reveal and when the cat's out of the bag, you still just feel like anything can happen at any time. So that's one of the things that I think that this movie does perfectly. And the cast is great. All the cast members are great. There's not one weak performance in this whole thing. And I think that the plot's great too. Like, it's again, they don't give you too much. They give you just enough. And yeah, some of the things aren't explored enough to where you know the complete picture, but you don't need to know the complete picture, and that's the beauty of this movie. This movie's one of the best horror films of this year, hands down. But not only that, I think it's one of the best horror films in one of the most recent years. Like this since 2020, so since this decade started, this movie's definitely one of the best horror movies of this decade so far. It's just wild. That's the best way. Everyone just asked me, how was this movie? I've told them that this movie is batshit wild. And it's batshit wild in the best way. It's not just this incoherent mess where crazy shit just happens. It's like, it's very, very well done. So with all that, let's get to the verdict. Barbarian is a shocking horror thrill ride that almost never lets up. With great performances by the cast, perfect use of atmosphere and lighting, great plot, horrific violence, and great creature effects, it's not only one of this year's best horror films, but one of the best horror films in recent years. Only being held back by certain plot defects where you have to suspend disbelief. With all that being said, Barbarian gets a 4.5 out of 5 and is grizzly grade guaranteed. Go see it. It's the perfect way to kick off the spooky season. And with that, we're going to bring this episode to an end. Thank you all so much for y'all's continued support and patience. Without y'all, this show isn't possible. I want to give a shout out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. His music is amazing and it's what I use in my background music throughout each episode, as well as the music I use for my intro and outro. So check out White Bat Audio on Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and also follow the show on all social media platforms. And most importantly, join the Mean Militia by joining the official Facebook group, the Mean Joe Grizzly Mean Militia. Don't really know where we're going to go next. I know that Pearl, the prequel to X, is coming out, as well as the movie Smile that's coming out at the end of this month. As far as She-Hulk goes, I know I didn't do a Grizzly Guide on her, and I haven't really talked about the show yet. It's just not my thing. I'm kind of tired of silly Marvel, but that's a whole different conversation. Not saying I won't talk about her or the show. Just right now, that's not my main concern. You're probably only going to get this episode and another one this month, so it's probably only going to be two episodes this month, because I'm going to be ramping up to try to give y'all the full spooky season experience with my October releases, because I got a lot of cool stuff coming up in October. There's so much good stuff coming up. You got outside of horror, you got Black Adam. Now at D23, not too long ago, I think that was yesterday, they announced Werewolf by Night. That's going to be freaking awesome. I'm very excited about that. You got a lot of other stuff that I have on the plans. Halloween Ends, obviously, and a couple more things that I have in the works I'm going to try to bring to y'all this Halloween season. So until next time, remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.